Let's read the portion of the Bible from which this wonderful verse evolves towards the end of it. From John, the third chapter. Together, let us read. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Jews, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about the earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise be to God. Let us remain standing and sing the first two verses of this.
Spirit of rest.
gentleness. Blow through the wilderness, this place called Petersburg. And this place this morning called Petersburg Lutheran Church. Blow upon us. Make us free because of your love for us. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. From the gospel text, the wind blows where it chooses. From the gospel text, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, Jesus, how can these things be? Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. On a cold winter's night, much colder than the nights we've been having, I lay awake as a teenager, weighted down by the wool comforters which my mother had made from old worn-out wool coats, barely able to move under the weight of them, in my upstairs bedroom that was built before anyone knew about insulating the walls. Having read my Bible for the night, listening to the whistling wind, pondering the same question of Nicodemus. How can these things be? How did it happen? How did it happen to me that the wind blew upon me? Then I didn't know what that someday I would be able to read about this wind in the original language which it was written down in the Bible, and to learn that in this passage, the Greek word for wind is pneuma, and that in this very same passage, the Greek word used for spirit is pneuma. One Greek word, just like our language, which sometimes has two or three meanings or uses for the very same word. As we see pneuma in the original Greek in this text, we see one word that is translated one way here and another way over here. Unlike, but alike. So as I lay in my upstairs bedroom, trying to keep warm in a farmhouse that is no more on a typical cold winter night, it was more than the wind that was whistling. It was the very Spirit of God. Lutherans don't talk much about conversions. Don't talk much about conversion experiences anymore. But that was not the case in lots of our Lutheran churches going way back. Conversation or conversion, I always say conversation. Conversion was very central in the Lutheran church in which I grew up in. It was as common in our church as it was in the Baptist church just a block away. Both churches, altar calls were very common. As a growing boy then, I'd spend lots of them. I'd seen lots of them. I'd seen lots of people get up from where they're sitting and go up front. I was just a boy. I never did see my parents do it. And I had a feeling, sort of an urge, that it was something that I would sort of like to do. But I was afraid. I was afraid to do it. It wasn't that I didn't know about Jesus. Man, I had Sunday school papers on the little desk beside my bed, stacked up high. You know, remember, any of you remember those Sunday school papers we always got to take home after Sunday school? Oh, the church was doing its job of putting stuff in here. It wasn't as if my mom and dad had ignored their promise when they had me baptized. They promised to nurture me in the faith, to bring me to the churches held in God's house, to the worship services held in God's house, and to share with me their God-given faith. They were doing their job, although it was probably a little Norwegian, because you know how Norwegians are about that. They don't talk about it too much. They sort of expect it to happen, even though they don't talk. Anyway, that's another story. It wasn't as if I lived in a community of non-believers. The neighbors across the road were Catholics, devout Catholics. The Nepples, the Dawkies were Methodists. They lived around the corner from us on the farm. And then there were the Jespersons and the Hills and the Howards. They were Presbyterians of all things. And then there were, you can figure out what these people were, the Hansons, the Christiansons, the Nielsons, and the Solomonsons. Yeah, there was a clan of Lutherans amongst all those other denominations. We had a mission field, too, in our neighborhood. Charlie and Tilly Heinrich. They didn't go to church. That was our mission field. Those farm folks met every month, once a month, at different homes. They would share. What for? Farm Bureau. Their monthly Farm Bureau meeting. As I remember them, because we kids always went, we played outside and the people were inside. It had the flavor of an ecumenical meeting. All those different religions, synodical groupings. Get the picture? What might have happened to a growing up boy in that community? Panelma, very present. The whistling wind. Unknown to me as a baby when I was baptized when I was just 2 weeks old, when the Spirit had been implanted into me, and the church was doing its job. My parents had a hand in it, and my neighborhood was involved in it, and the wind was blowing, the whistling wind of the Spirit. Blowing where it will, not knowing where it comes from, and not knowing where it's going. Over me and in me. I guess it was in the eighth grade, as a confirmant, that I joined the PTL club. Don't know what that is, huh, Bill? Anybody? PLP club? Oh, boy. What? People that I inherit here. PTL is a club that had been built and sponsored by our church offices in Minneapolis. The old ELC, if you remember that, the Evangelical Lutheran Church, of which this church was also a member. But apparently the PLC Club didn't reach out this far, if you don't recognize it. I joined that club, the Pocket Testament League, PTL, as did a lot of my friends in what we then called the Luther League. To join the PTL club, we had to make two promises. One, we promised that we would carry the New Testament on our bodies at all times. Promise one. Promise two, that we would read at least one chapter from it every day. In those days, our basketball and baseball uniforms were laundered by our mothers. Unknown to my coaches, Mr. Klinker and Mr. Mazzulla, my mom sewed a hidden pocket into each one of them because I took my promise so seriously. My testament accompanied me on the basketball court and on the pitcher's mound. I never did, however, figure out what to do with it when we went for a swim after the ball game. The altar calls during this time kept happening at our Sunday night worship services. See, we had three services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And often I felt the urge to go up front, but I was afraid. It was a special night for the PLT Club, a banquet for all of us. Neighboring churches, we all had, the PTL Club was a big thing in those days in our communities. And so all the neighboring churches that had kids in that club were invited to our church for this big banquet. Pneuma, the Spirit, not knowing where it was coming from or where it was going, it was blowing hard that night. A night I'll never forget. It blew so hard it took my being afraid away. And I went up front. When Evangelist Stone asked if anybody wanted to commit his or her life to the Lord Jesus, the time had come for me to go public. I went up front. It was a Nicodemus night. Remember? He too was a little bit afraid. If you read that text carefully, when did he come to Jesus? That night. Why? Because he was a Pharisee and he was afraid of being found out by all of his club members that he was having conversation with someone whom the Pharisees didn't particularly like. So I knew all this stuff. Nicodemus knew all this stuff. We both knew all the stories. Our Sunday school made sure that I knew them. My parents, in their quiet Norwegian way, had been a part of the blowing wind. My neighborhood surely did their part. The Ecumenical Farm Bureau all contributed. All of them were that wind that was blowing. But there's one thing yet to do. Some might want to call it conversion, but really what it was my affirmation of the whistling wind and of the indwelling Spirit implanted in baptism, which not long thereafter I would go up front for a second time on my mother's birthday, October 26th, my confirmation day, as I stood and promised once again, and then knelt, and then Pastor Hinderrocker put his hand upon me and blessed me. A place that I hold sacred back in our church back in Estherville, Iowa, and a place that I frequently go to when I get close to that place. And there I will kneel and once again both remember and commit my life. When this wind happens to you, it's overwhelming. It blows you away almost. That's what wind does. In my case, it wasn't a conversion, but it was a dramatic turning around. It wasn't a dramatic turning around. It wasn't a changing of direction. It wasn't a U-turn. But it was an empowerment, overwhelmed by the Spirit, a declaration. It was a statement. It was a testimony. It was a witness. I went public. It was joining the ecumenical farm bureau of the neighborhood. It was joining God's family of colorful flavors. Nicodemus asked Jesus, because it's already had happened to him. The story doesn't tell it, but I believe he had already come to acknowledge Jesus as something important and precious in his life. And Nicodemus says, how can this be? How can this happen? As I lay under the warm, heavy quilt of my mother's, I, like Nicodemus, overwhelmed by the whistling wind, would ponder what had happened to me, asking myself, how did this all happen? How can this be? Jesus answered Nicodemus by saying, are you not a teacher of Israel, Nicodemus? And yet you do not understand these things? I relate to Nicodemus. Like Nicodemus, I had all the information, my baptism, my parents, my church, my farm bureau, and there beside me in my desk, those precious Sunday school papers. I knew all of it. I had it all up here. But it takes more than just having it up here. It takes more than knowledge. There's more to it than that. There needs to be that pneuma experience, whether it's a conversion or an affirmation. It happens differently to all of us. But there needs to be a response to that whistling wind that is blowing across each one of us. It is in this context of Nicodemus, the story of Nicodemus, that the concluding words of this text hit home and filled my heart. For God so loved the world together that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. On a blustery, blizzardly, windy Iowa winter night, with the wind speaking and swirling outside my window, kept warm by my mother's handmade quilts, I was kept even warmer by the whistling spirit that had descended to my heart. And having read my chapter from the New Testament that night or more, I could now slip into a peaceful sleep, even though we had lost our basketball game in overtime. How can these things be? Nicodemus asked. I almost at a loss to be able to say, I know how it happened. The only thing I can say is that I know it did happen, and how thankful I am for all the influences, for all the different speeds of the wind that came at me from different directions that moved the stuff that I had in my head to my heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. This time, don't join me in repeating the 3:16. For God so loves each one of us that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, so that if we believe in him, that we will not go to our graves that will forever remain sealed, but that one day they will be opened and we will arise and we will be welcomed into God's eternal kingdom. It'll be the greatest ecumenical Farm Bureau meeting ever held. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, keep the wind blowing. We need it. We've already come to know you as our Lord and Savior, but we still need that wind enlivening us, warming us, encouraging us, empowering us. And for this we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Verses 3 and 4. Spirit of God. Thank you.